This is the Howard Vortex with Dr. Drew and Army Horowitz. This is the Howard Vortex with Dr. Drew and Army Horowitz. Baba booey to you. Here comes Dr. Drew and Army Horowitz. The
Vortex, Ami, we're here with Patricia. This is a big honor.
Otherwise known as the great Tan Mom.
And I'm here.
Yes. Okay.
So. Oh my gosh. Dr. Drew married you?
Who's the lucky one?
I'm beyond overwhelmed. The guy seems so, like, calm.
Oh.
You know what?
Patricia,
that's a really good point.
This is a great place to start.
Are you insulting me?
No, she said you were like her.
No.
Oh, no, I'm like
you're
her.
You're like me.
Oh, yeah, I am. I do. I get a lot of hair and makeup. But Patricia.
Oh, no, that's not what she means.
What?
She's saying you guys are yin and yang.
Very, very serious.
Oh yeah, he's really serious. He's really boring too, but I'm fun. So I bring out the fun in him.
That is why maybe he likes me.
Yes, we love you. We all love you. Who doesn't love you? Okay, we all love you.
No. Just listen to you. I did not mean one single insult on that.
I know. I didn't know what you were meaning.
Oh my gosh, this is a privilege, Patricia. I haven't talked to you in a long time.
How you been?
I've been good. Do you remember back when I used to interview you on HLN, CNN?
Yes, a long time ago.
That was a long time ago. And when we were talking back then, you talked to me, you told me this whole history about being thrown down a well and then being punched in the face and the baby's supposed to die. And I wanted to get all that out because when I tell people that, they go, no, it's not so. But tell us the first episode where you were kidnapped and thrown down a well.
I was about 17 or 18. And if we cut to the chase, actually...
No, don't cut to the chase. Walk us through the entire process. Like, how did it start? Where were you when it began? Walk us through it as if nobody listening has heard the story before.
It's a scary well prior to the well that I was put into, meaning my childhood.
Uh-oh.
And it adds up to what has happened to me. And, okay, I was out, and this guy just was infatuated with me and always followed me around and stuff like that. But
this is somebody that you knew?
It was a friend of a friend. I didn't know this guy. And I was out one night at a club and in my town in Long Island. And when I was dancing, he came over and I'm like, no. And then a little while later, after a drink or two, not with him, he was standing outside. I was waiting for my friend to come and pick me up. So when I was outside, it was right in front of the club to the left. And then he took me into the car. He grabbed me. And the bouncers, like, tried to grab me from him. And he tossed me in the car and took me way into the woods where I don't know. It was down by Piccolo's. This is like, I grew up in Long Island, Cold Spring Harbor, like way down the road and then way into the woods. And I really like had some drinks in me. Obviously, I'm like looking around and figuring out what the heck is going on. And then he stops. And then in my head, I said, okay, I got to get myself out of this. So after that, when he tied me up with his necktie, and stuff. And then he started to do all the stuff. And I'm like, I got really, really scared. And then he brought me to this, like, little house and threw me down in this sunken, he, like, digged out tunnel thing. And it was down by Piccolo's, like, way past Piccolo's. And anyone from Colston Harbor in Long Island knows that, like, way down that way. There's a lot of, like, shrubbery and stuff. So
Had he raped you or beaten you before that?
He attacked me, yes.
Yeah. And this is the exact story. This is the precise story she told me before. So go ahead, Patricia. Finish up.
No, so he attacked me. Then I fought myself off, but you got to think. So I thought it was better to be lost for a little while, let him calm down when he threw me in this thing. It was like a hole. And I'm like, listen, I really like you, and let's just go back to your place.
He said that after.
No, she said that. She said that. She's trying to survive. She fought him off.
I'm trying to get out
of
there.
Yeah.
I said this. I said, okay, you know what? You agree. So let's just go back to your place. So he let me out of the tunnel. And it was days, though. I mean, I sat there for 3 days. My parents were looking for me. And then finally, he let me out.
Did he beat you? Or you said something about having your being unconscious for a little while last time I talked to you about it.
On and off, of course.
I mean, just so I'm clear, you're 3 days, you're in the well?
This tunnel well tile thing, yeah.
Like a circle thing.
And did he come?
A tunnel,
like a sewer tunnel or something, right?
Storm
drain
down.
And this is a real like kiss the girls type of situation.
I know. And
scary stuff.
Did he come and go, or was he there the whole time, like just doing his thing?
No, he just would come and go. Be really, really weird. But you gotta minimize an idiot in your head, even though you know you might die, so you got to win somehow.
Yeah.
So I said to him, I said, let's just go back to your place. Let me just get out of here and shower. And I knew other people were at that house. My other friends, like friends that I know, actually. And I'm like, if you go, he was renting a place. And if I went back there, if they heard me, they could save me. So he let me out finally, go back to the house, and I just sat there and I'm like, it's very hard to talk about this. Then he wanted me to go in his room. I kicked him and the chicken, and I'm like, help me, help me. And then they got me out. I'm like,
who's they?
He's going to kill me.
Who's they?
They were just a couple of my friends.
How did they find you?
No, I found them.
Uh-huh.
The kicking in the chicken.
That was a good move.
That was a good move. That was a good move. And did you... Now, the next time you had a head injury was in that fight in the bar. Is that right?
No, my head injuries were when I was... pregnant with Ashley.
Right. That's the
one. That was when I was 23.
And somebody punched you in the face or something? Was that right?
He cold cocked me.
And had that whole go down? So you're at a bar. You're having a drink with your, I think, was it then your first husband, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So walk us through exactly how that went down.
I was pregnant with Ashley. I was 23, about 3.5-4 months pregnant. And we went out, and I was setting up my girlfriend with an attorney, the other guy. I walked across the street to get my girlfriend, and she was, like I said, across the street. So I waited for her to come downstairs, and as I'm standing at the bar, kept asking me, and I remember, because I like Heineken, do you want a beer? And I said, no, if I wanted one, it would be honey. But no. And I'm like, no, thank you. And just was standing there. And I don't come across very big when I'm pregnant either. So anyway, so I'm standing there. And then he asked me again. I said, no, thank you. I said, I'm just waiting for my friend. By the third time, and the bartender kept serving him. He was beyond intoxicated. Dr. Drew has a fearful on this one.
Yeah.
But it's the truth. And he cold cocks me because when he touched me, I said, no, I don't want the drink. And then I went, I don't know anything. I went flying all the way across the bar. Next thing I know, they were asking my first husband, who do you want to save, me or the baby? So after two operations and almost 7 months, she came out fine. And I still have a lot of problems today from the head injuries. But I really don't want to use that. I think a lot of my stress is being around negative people. I think I've used a little bit. I definitely think a lot of it has to do with my injury. A lot of sad things, and I've worked through so many of them, and I'm proud of it.
And, Mommy, I've met several of her kids, and they are marvelous kids. Your kids, right?
They're beautiful, smart, and everything. Honor rolls, everything. I do have ramifications of these incidences, but I don't care to dwell on them.
You have a seizure, you told me, right, from the plate, the injury in the head?
Yes. Yeah. I have difficulties, but I don't run around. Sometimes when people ask me these questions, I care not to talk about it anymore because I'm a survivor.
Yeah.
And that's a past.
What happened? What happened to your first marriage?
He was a very violent alcoholic.
Oh boy,
Jesus!
You pick him, Patricia.
Yeah.
You just hey, in a second. We opened this when we were getting ready. I don't know how much of this is going to be on the show. Nate, maybe you can weave some of it in. But Patricia said she thinks that my wife Susan is just like her. Susan, do you pick violent alcoholics? Well, you have. I guess you have. Yeah, she has a history of having done so.
I did before I got lucky.
So there you go, Patricia.
You know, Wait.
No. Let me interrupt for that.
Of course.
Yeah.
Because he didn't drink, he would be cool. Another Wall Street guy. Absolute psychopath. I just don't think I'm fit to be married.
No, I would not say that at all. Come on, in fact, Sal would marry you in a second.
Yeah, Sal, if he could just shake his wife.
Let's jump forward real quick. I want to go back to your childhood and just kind of circle back around that. I got a couple questions around that and some interesting things that I've uncovered about it. But why weren't you at Jimmy Kimmel? I looked around and I saw there was High Pitch and there was Jeff the Drunk and there was Medicated Pete and there was a couple other people. Why weren't you there?
I have no idea.
Did they invite you?
I don't even know. I was in Rhode Island, and then I flew that afternoon to Dallas because I met somebody.
Oh, is this that guy you were telling everybody about?
I didn't tell anyone about.
I heard something.
I think you told like the entire world, because I'm pretty sure we heard about it on the Howard Stern Show.
Oh, Howard already talked about it?
I think you talked about it with
him. Yeah, I think we heard you talking about it.
No, I told them off.
No, I think, wait, let me see if I remember it, because is the guy who in Dallas is a pretty wealthy guy, right? He's like a financial guy.
Humongous.
Okay, see, you did talk about it. How would I have known that if you didn't talk about it?
Well, maybe Sal or somebody talked about it, but I remember Tamon talking about it.
No, Tamon definitely talked about it. Yeah. Tamon definitely talked about it. Well, how's that? Well, that's been going on for a few months now, right?
Yeah.
Good for you. You deserve some happiness. Tad Mom.
Thank you.
Yeah? So do you think this thing might be going somewhere? What are your thoughts on it?
Can't wait to tell everybody, yeah, I think it's going to be super.
Right.
Are you
enough of Sal and all this bullshit?
You've done tired of Sal. Are you still married?
No.
You got a divorce because your most recent husband's been.
He comes around all the time. It's okay. An absolute ulcer.
Okay. Well, he's there for the kids, right?
Yep.
And he seems like a nice guy.
Yeah, everyone likes him. He seems like a nice guy. Are we getting it wrong?
Oh my. You know what? There's not one guy that really actually loves my kids. They get wrapped up in me, and that's the unfortunate part. I only ever wanted somebody, Emily West, you know, seriously. And I'm not kidding when I say that.
Wait, you only wanted somebody with what? Say that again. I'm sorry.
That loved to be a family kind of issue.
I see.
You know, when you're running around all the time, but when you have those moments, it should just be about the children,
right?
Not about me.
Of course, I understand.
It's always about me, and I don't like that.
I get it. But speaking of the kids, again, I tried to bring this up a second ago. Is there Susan keeps handing me a note saying something about a Halloween party coming up?
Oh yeah.
Are we invited?
Tell us about it.
It's the most scariest haunted house in the world. Ask Lamette, little chicken ass. So it's going to be so scary. Like, people are coming and there's limos in the front and like crazy drivers to come and pick up people and ghost machines and everything.
Is that your house?
I got it.
Where's it going to be?
At my home.
Is Lamette going? Is he showing up?
No.
What?
I don't think so. I mean, I'm not waiting for... I don't care.
He spent all that time with you. I thought he was. I thought there was a thing going.
He wishes.
Well, no, there was a whole embedded thing where he was there. And he was the one that said your husband was such a good guy.
Oh, my God.
Well, let's go back for a second to Jimmy Kimmel. So I'm still curious. Did you get a message from somebody at the Howard Stern show that you weren't going, that you were invited? Like, what exactly? I mean, they would have reached out to you if they invited you. I'm a little confused.
I really don't know.
Are you upset?
I'm not one person to sit by my phone. I mean, Susan pays phone tag all the time. It's her time zone, my time zone. And I get 10 million phone calls. I am not hit by my phone.
Understood. But are you
right
upset?
Now, she's
didn't get the invitation.
Done. I have no idea. I could care less.
Okay.
And I'm mad.
So you do care. Okay. So you're mad. You're mad. And I'm not saying you shouldn't be mad. I'm just saying that, to be clear, you are mad that you didn't get
an invitation. No, I talked off Julie.
You did.
I'm like, what the heck? No, because I talked to him on Thursday. He's like, why weren't you there? What?
He said to you, why weren't you there?
It's Shelly.
Right.
And Patricia, I'm reading my Twitter feed right now, and you tweeted a minute ago. I'm not quite sure what this is. Can you translate it for me? Ready?
Yeah.
Okay. What's up, this Beetlejuice, think enough like whatever. I'm at Surfside, the tide that Roseanne used to be on The View, nostril via eyeballs.
What does that mean?
What does that mean? Well, it's a pirate ghost.
Susan.
Okay.
She's so cool. I love Susan.
Okay. Pirate ghost nostril via two eyeballs via. I can't even tell what that little emoji is. And what is that?
All right. Backtrack a second. Just say it again. I'll tell you what I meant.
All right. What's up? And by the way, this is another way you're very much like my wife, because our entire family just sits around and reads texts and laugh at them. What's up with this? What's up with this Beetlejuice, think enough like whatever?
Oh, yeah. Okay. I'm like, what's up? Why does everyone keep asking me about Beetlejuice?
Why? Why do they ask her about Beetlejuice? All right, let's keep going. I'm at Surfside, the tide that Roseanne, that used to be on The View.
Oh, because I will surf the waves. And, you know, Roseanne was on The View.
And Roseanne like, Barr.
Yeah, I will blow you over. It's like Whoopi Goldberg and all those idiots that sit there. And I'm like, I was turned down.
Oh.
I went on there.
I see.
Yeah.
No, I don't. She was turned down from what? The View?
To be on The View.
Are you saying that you're bigger than Roseanne?
Well, or that they wouldn't even let her be a guest.
No, probably. I'm skinnier than Roseanne.
That's but, true.
And then hold
I'm
on.
Better than any of them.
There's this last part that I want to get right, which is pirate ghost emoji, nostril via two eyeballs, and then I think it's an Indian sun. What is that one?
I don't know. That leave it to the surf.
Okay. All right. Got it. Okay.
So let's circle back to Howard Stern again. Let me ask you this. Are you a whack packer?
Was that a
I'm sorry?
Was that a no or a yes?
I don't know.
What do you consider yourself to be a whack packer?
You should be proud of that.
Everyone thinks I am, but I really just thought those guys were my friends and my family. I've been there for so many years. But I'll call up and I get right on. And I'm really mad at them right now.
Why?
Why?
Because I'm better than I have no idea.
I'm sorry, you're better than what?
Whatever.
What, how could they
no,
not?
No. What do you mean? No, not whatever.
Let's try a different
one.
Let's try this different one.
You have something important. You have something to say, and I think this is the platform for you. This is a safe space. This is a platform for you to express your views, and this is the time to do it. So what do you mean that you're better than? What's the issue with we're in the dark here. Enlighten us.
Because I am not secondary.
To? Secondary to who?
Anything.
You don't think they treat you with the proper respect?
They always have.
Are you mad at
Shuley? And now wait, it's different?
The only thing that's changed is I've noticed Shuley does an imitation. Does that make you upset?
Listen, I don't sit around. I have a life. I listen to the radio of Howard Stern.
Ami and I do.
I don't have much of a life.
So
this is an important issue. But do you think they're not treating you with the proper respect? Is that what the issue is?
All of a sudden.
May I make an appeal to, say, maybe to Sal on your behalf or to Shuley? I'll talk to Shuley if you want.
No, I don't think she's looking for that. I think, tell me if you think I'm right, but I think Tanram doesn't want us or her to beg them.
Oh, not
she
begging.
She wants them to understand her unique. Yeah, she's looking for them to understand her unique ability.
But
unique
I don't
abilities.
Think they know she's upset. I don't think they know, and I'll be happy to tell them.
But I think this is the form.
You said it to them?
I didn't say totally. I said it to Shuley. I'm like, what the heck there was? And I wasn't there?
Oh, Kimmel.
Okay, so that's what we're talking about.
It's a sore spot. You got right at that. Yeah. When you missed her, you wonder where she was.
When I was watching Kimmel, I was looking out.
It doesn't even matter. It's not the point. I'm not sure what happened. And then they fly into their little webs. Go fuck them. And you think for one single second, they're better than me?
I don't think anybody feels that way, Patricia. I mean, not really. Not certainly not as a human being. And I think they love you and admire you and have fun with you.
Let me ask you this.
Who do you blame for that? Do you think do you blame Howard Stern for that? Do you blame Shuley? Do you blame Gary? Who do you lay the blame for Tan Mom, one of the biggest whack packers on the Stern Show, not being at the Kimmel Show?
Exactly.
God, you're a shit stirrer.
But my question is, who do you blame for that?
Difficult question because It goes to the top shelf.
Howard Stern.
Yep. I got to take my shirt off. I'm hot. Hold on.
Oh.
Okay.
Hello.
Well, I don't necessarily believe that. I don't, because I think if she called,
I think Howard loves her.
I do too.
I think Howard loves to have her on the show. I think she said when she calls up, she gets to go on.
He would go straight. We should have to wait a few minutes. I mean, he has to orchestrate what he's doing, but she would almost always get through, I think. Especially if she called Shuley first.
No, I just had to put a t-shirt on. It's getting
no problem.
All right, well done.
No problem.
So yeah, let's go off this for a second. Just we'll come back to it, okay. But I'm still sitting here having a good time thinking about you comparing yourself and my wife and how much you think you're the same person. And you were a bathing suit model when you were younger, right? That's something my wife did too. You were the same person.
Very similar.
My whole life.
Your whole life. Wait. Your whole life you were a bathing suit model.
Since I was like 6.
Since you were 6.
Yeah. You know what? When I listen to Susan, I can hear her. It's hard to explain, but she is a lot like me in a weird way. Or maybe I'm like her.
I get it.
But I really like her just because she's like, I don't know. It's so... People don't understand certain things. It's like you try so hard to be great for so many people and, you know, and then you get really involved in your own head sometimes and you want to be pretty for yourself, but then you're always worried about everything else you have to do. So it's hard to integrate each and everything you have to do every single second of the day. And then by the time you get to yourself, you're like, I don't even want to do anything.
I've heard the complaints. I've heard similar complaints. In fact, the only thing that Patricia doesn't sign off on that my wife does is that she married me. That seems to be confusing to her, to Patricia.
Tam, seeing you in the same vein, let me ask you this. Considering the way that there obviously there's a lot of guys who are interested in you, right? Sal, Lamette, it goes on. Let me ask you this question. How hot are you?
I'm beautiful. I like me.
I know. Who do you compare yourself to looks wise? Like what level are you on if you compare yourself to another actress or a model?
I don't compare myself to anyone.
But if you were, who would you? If you were trying to describe yourself to somebody, and you went, "Yeah, I look like," and then fill in the blank.
I don't.
Never do.
I'm sorry, I don't.
Okay.
No.
Okay. Can we go back a little briefly to your childhood? You told us you had a very difficult childhood, and I don't think anybody really knows kind of what you went through as a kid. And I think it's important to talk about it. I think what I found very interesting was that your father was a Goldman Sachs banker.
Oh, wow.
I mean, that is one of the most successful jobs. That is literally one of the most successful jobs in the on planet Earth, to be a banker at Goldman Sachs. I'm sure, Tam, you don't know this, but my background before I got into film and TV was investment banking. And I was at a rival firm of Goldman Sachs called Lehman Brothers. But tell us, I mean, you grew up very affluent.
Wait. Lehman Brothers?
Yes.
My first husband worked at Lehman Brothers at the Board of Trade. Well, first in New York. Everyone I ever dated basically is Wall Street or an attorney, yada, yada, yada. So, anyways, Lehman, and he messed up my whole children's life because of
your father or your first husband?
My first husband.
Well, let's go back to your
drink.
What do you mean?
Like, are you there?
You mean you're referring to when the time you got cold cocked.
No, I don't think that's what she's talking about. She's talking about her first husband drinking, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And she said he was a violent dude, right?
Did he hit? Did Did he hit you? And did he hit you?
No, but he ruined everything. The big boss gave him 3 shots, and he blew them all.
Oh.
Over a drink. And to this day, what have you? Let's go on to something.
Okay. Let's go back to Howard.
Let's talk about your childhood. So you grew up wealthy. I mean, as an investment banker in the 60s, that was it's a massive job now. Tell us about your childhood.
I never did anything.
What do you mean?
No, I take that back. Daddy was so strict, and everything was regimented. He was in the Navy, and basically, we threw a lot of parties, day and night, day after day, every weekend, barbecues, and we had a live-in maid, chauffeurs.
In fact, Patricia, I remember you saying that your first abductor guy that you told us the story about today was someone that came to one of those parties or something. Did you tell me that once, too?
No. That wasn't at my home.
Okay. All right. So keep going. So the parties were big. You had chauffeurs. You had maids. And then your first husband found you?
But you said your childhood was troubling. I mean, it sounds like your childhood was one big party. It was awesome. You were rich. There were parties. What about your childhood was so disturbing to you?
Well, when I was born, my doctor said I had the most beautiful skin. I came out backwards and blue, and yeah.
Well, that's not too. You wouldn't remember that. What was it that you had some bad memories of?
No, I was molested my whole life.
By whom?
My family.
What? Like?
And all my older sisters' boyfriends.
How old were you when that started?
8.
8. And this was older sisters' boyfriends that were the perpetrators?
No, my brothers when I was young.
Oh, my goodness. Are they still around, your brothers?
God.
I don't talk to them.
I guess what I'm asking is if they have kids, you really might want to report that, you know?
Did your parents know about
them? Yeah, I told them.
And what did your father do?
My brothers, and they said, I didn't know it would affect you like this. So since that day, when I actually told everybody, never talked to them.
That's rough. What did your parents say when you told your parents about it? What did your father say? What did your mother say? What did they do?
My mother is. They didn't know.
Did you ever get any treatment for this? Do you ever see a professional to help you with it?
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Okay. So you were able to sort of, I mean, they always talk.
It's still there. What do you think? You can erase something like that?
No, you can't. That's the point. You can't. But you can learn to sort of to live with it, to live alongside of it.
And I watch my children.
Oh, boy. I bet.
And, you know, and I think most people do not know this about, in fact, I would guarantee almost that nobody knows this about Tan Mom, is that she is, not only is she incredibly smart, but she has a business degree from the University of Florida, like a really good institution of higher learning. Isn't that correct?
Yes.
Did you want to be, what was your goal in life? What did you want to be? Did you want to go into banking? Did you want to be a lawyer? What were your goals?
To be the best person I could be, and I achieved many degrees, and I just make a lot of money, and then I would meet people, and I didn't have to work anymore, but I never let that, like, put me aside just because I was with somebody. I would still follow through with what I wanted to do. So then, you know, master's in business and all sorts of things. I was a buyer for Chanel, worked on Wall Street. I started law school and stuff, and I got degrees in so many things. And unfortunately, I didn't have a family to share it with.
Sure.
I'm a little confused, though, how you got all that done before your head injury, right? Because you're 23, 24, you have a...
That was when I was 23.
Were you able to go back to school after all that head injury?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Oh, so when you got your master's, you got your master's in business, is that after?
No, I have four discs.
Four what?
Everybody came, and I made a turkey and a ham for Thanksgiving, matzo ball soup, and everything. For everyone crawling on the floor, I am not a quitter. I am a fighter.
I get that. What is that in reference to?
Meaning the head injuries I had. That was like Easter time or Lent or all these holiday things. My whole face was out here. So yeah, it took me a while, but I went back out and worked. But I didn't. I always liked work. You know,
you got your master's before the head injury or after the head injury in business?
Before.
Okay.
Before,
right? That makes sense. Did you go to college at a young age?
I couldn't hear. What?
Did you go to college at a young age? Did you go very young?
Yes.
How old were you?
Because I just wanted to get out of my parents' house at that point.
Yeah, because sure. Of all that went down there. Oof. I get it.
And your parents have passed?
Yes, I did. And wait a minute. Is this a biography, or what are we doing?
Well, we're interested in you. Yeah, we know about you. We're just interested in you. You and I have always had to have these little moments in television and media, and I never really heard your whole story. I just wanted to get to know you and really hear your story from you.
What I wanted to get across to the rest of the audience is that on the Howard Stern Show, you're kind of a caricature, right? You're quote-unquote tan mom.
There's a lot more to her, right.
And I'm trying to show the audience that Tan Mom / Patricia is something different, deeper, far more experiences, good and bad. You know, the master's degree in University of Florida in business. Father was an investment banker. Different jobs you held. I mean, this is what I think the audience wants to know. Who is behind Tan Mom?
Yeah. Right?
Do you understand what I'm saying?
No, I totally agree because when I go on Howard, it's the best feeling because to me, they're family. And yeah, I don't want to go backtracking on this Kimmel
thing. That's okay. That's okay.
That hurt me. I have no idea why, but tomorrow's Monday and all shit's going to hit the fan. So anyway, back to what we're talking about. When I go on there, that show is really a lot about what's going on. It gets taken away, but it's all about fun. And a lot of people don't understand that. It's not, we're all, like, everyone thinks me and Sal are together. No. Could we? Should we? No. He's got a wife and kids. No, I don't want to get wrapped up in more BS.
It is fun, but there's a lot of – this is the other part that people, I think, realize, but I don't know if they realize how significant the ball busting. There's lots of ball busting that goes on, right?
Yeah.
Are you okay with that? Like, do you mind when Shuli does the Tan Mom imitations? Do you mind when they talk about you in somewhat vulgar terms sometimes? Is that all part of the fun for you, or does that bother you sometimes?
Actually, he's starting to get on my nerves.
Uh-oh.
Shuli or Howard, or both?
Shuli.
Okay. Have you told him that?
Tad. No, he's stepping over the limit.
Well, why did you tell him?
I don't care who you think you are, because I know who I am.
I'm looking at Patricia's Twitter feed again, and I'm looking at lots of pumpkins. Are you a fan of Nightmare Before Christmas?
The what?
Your pumpkins are all characters from Nightmare Before Christmas. Do you know what that is?
The Burton movie.
Yeah.
How did you know? Okay.
Twitter.
I'm sorry.
Twitter.
Yeah.
My partner is a very perceptive man.
I try. See, I think
this thing all coming all over above my head. He catches all the stuff.
I'm coming out to New York next week, and I think we got to go to Patricia's Halloween party. That's what I think. I think we should go to your Halloween party. You've not invited us, but you know, it'd still be fun.
It's not like I know your number.
Actually, you do.
Yeah. No, well, you know Susan's.
And that's
how many numbers I have.
I'm looking at Patricia's use of the pirate ghost. She seems to like that pirate ghost emoji, right?
Yeah.
I don't quite know what it means, but it's all over the place here.
No. I'm just like, shut up.
Tan Mom, F. Mary Kill, Howard, Sal, Lament.
Wait, what?
I don't know if she knows that game.
Of course she's a Howard Stern fan. Of course she does. Do you know the game F. Mary Kill? Do you know that game? I'm going to read you three names.
Tell me what it is.
Yeah, she doesn't know the game.
Okay, I'm going to read you three names. One person you have to marry, one person you have to kill, and one person you have to have sex with. So Howard, Sal, Lament. F. Mary Kill. You with me?
I'm thinking.
It's a tough one.
It's a hard one.
Okay, Howard. Sal.
And Lament. So which one do you marry? Which one do you kill? Which one do you have coitus with?
Do you have sex with?
Marry Sal.
Okay, good.
Marry Sal.
Kill Lament.
Interesting.
And then have sex with
and
Howard.
And bang Howard.
Screw Howard.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting. And so, see, I think Sal thinks that there's a little more sexual energy in the relationship than Patricia is telling us there is today.
Yeah, I would have flipped. If it was, I thought you, I would have bet a lot of money that you would have flipped Howard and Sal.
Yeah, that's very.
You want to marry Howard for a whole variety of reasons. But that's a very interesting thing.
Well, she likes Beth. She doesn't want to interfere with Beth, right?
Well, we're playing this game in a vacuum.
Exactly.
Wow. I don't know Beth, and I'm not getting wrapped up with some girl that gets jealous about something that doesn't happen.
All right, fair enough. Have you ever met Sal's wife?
No, I saw a picture.
She's very pretty. She's very pretty, right?
Oh, yeah. She's hot. But that would be an awkward meeting.
Don't make Patricia mad. Now I'm asking her if she thinks she's hot.
No, I don't whatsoever.
Uh oh.
Interesting. Do you think? In all seriousness, do you think Sal is
she's
handsome?
She's overweight. Oh my goodness. Well, we like
that
her.
I don't know her. I don't remember.
If you like beef, then fine. Oh my god.
See, this is why we love Tan Mom. She is unfiltered. She is telling it the way it is, the way she feels. Correct? You don't hold anything back.
Yeah.
Now, do you think Sal is here? Oh, yeah. Interesting.
What else? Susan. I'd rather go out with Susan.
Well, that could happen.
Susan is smoking hot. Are you kidding me?
I love Susan. She cracks me up.
She's the Tan Mom Whisperer.
And what about
you know
Sal?
What I think Sal? Too? I think people don't want me on shows because I would be great. I honestly
do you think that you would be so good that you would take their job?
I just definitely think there's no reason that I am not doing something. When everybody's so fucking fat and ugly, I'm like, click, click, click. I mean, come on. I'm fun. I'm pretty.
We got
I think people you. Are basically a little bit scared of me overall, too.
That's interesting. What do you think frightens them?
they don't know what to expect.
Well, that's I think that's a reasonable assessment. I think that's actually accurate.
Yeah. What is she going to do? Well, roll the dice, bitch.
Who do you think is the ugliest person working on television today?
Hmm.
Like, one, do you look at them and say, I cannot believe they have a job on TV?
Sal, I'm texting you things while we go here. I'm sure you're aware.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I really don't watch TV. I watch just movies. Person on TV. I can't answer that. Okay. I really don't watch TV. I work out. I my kids. I don't know. TV.
Let's talk for a second about the controversy that you're known for, and in fact is your name, essentially your namesake. First of all, do you like or dislike the Tan Mom moniker?
No, it bores me now.
Okay. At one point you did like it?
No.
Never did.
My name is Patricia Marie, and yeah, I've been tanning my whole life. So yeah, I am a mom. You want to call me Tan Mom, but I don't want that in front of my children. You know what I mean?
Mm.
I can do whatever I want, and that's what I do. And if somebody has a complaint about it, well, you have no life. But when it comes to my kids, that really took a damage on us.
Because there were some serious charges that were...
Yeah, walk us through what happened.
You already know. I don't want to go down that road.
Let me ask this, Patricia. You told me once that when you look at pictures of that whole episode, even you're surprised at how tan you were.
And I told you 1,000 times.
That's true.
That picture was in a dark den, and they tainted it.
What picture are we talking about?
The one, the famous one.
I came back from Aspen skiing.
Well,
I see. That picture doesn't look real at all. That does not look like a real picture to me, now that I'm looking at it. But, I guess one of the things I thought about over and over again when and for those of you who don't know, we won't go through in detail, but essentially what happened was Tan Mom was accused of taking her young daughter into a tanning booth, which Tan Mom, correct me if I'm wrong, Tan Mom, but Tan Mom rejects completely. She made it very clear that her daughter was not.
It was disproven. She was exonerated, as I recall.
Correct.
Yeah.
So one thing which must go went through my when I was reading about it and doing some of my show prep was this was a very big. I had not heard of it at the time. I only heard through Howard Stern, but this was a fairly big incident, particularly in your area. So it must have been so difficult for you to walk down the street of your neighborhood, and people were probably looking at you as like, oh, you're that shitty mom, Tan Mom. You're that person who put their child in jeopardy for some – and knowing that it wasn't true, that must have been a very difficult time for you. Am I right about that?
It went on forever and to this day.
It's quite a thing. I never
– How much did that bother you?
Anywhere.
Huh. But you've been able to sort of, as you say, ride the wave, and you found a way over to Howard, and that has kind of kept things going in a fun way, right?
That's why I'm mad. I feel like crying right now.
Take your time.
We're still here.
Why are we talking about this?
Well, because it's something important for you, and, you know, I think my sense is...
I think we all have done this break.
You're going to talk to them I'd say Saturday, Sunday. You talk to them tomorrow, right? Do you get up early?
We don't have to talk about it. Well, we don't have to talk about it.
No. I wonder if she gets up early and waits on hold. And has anybody said they're willing to talk to you about it tomorrow?
Are we talking about Jimmy Kimmel?
When this happened with Anna, she was outside. And when you're in my home, in my kitchen, I have a big window. Ashley was outside with her. I was making lunch. She was wearing a tank top. She's a redhead. She went to school the next day. And the nurse said she had 3-degree burns. Not the case here at all.
Hmm. So that's why that's why it blew up.
Were you frightened that
fucking at all?
Were you frightened that maybe child services would get involved?
They were. They did get involved.
Oh, they were involved.
Yeah.
What happened? My daughter.
Oh my God. They did?
Yes.
Oh my God. What a nightmare that is. I've got chills just thinking about this conversation.
That I went to jail when you saw me in the first. Nothing. Because me and my girlfriend would meet up at Tropics and Tan.
Are you still close?
Deal.
Are you still close with those women?
No. I stayed to myself.
Did they sell you down the river, or do they support you?
No. I just closed myself from everybody.
Mm.
That must have been how long did this last? How long was this entire story, how long this whole process last?
It's still going on.
Well, let's see. In between them climbing in the trees, I couldn't get a cup of coffee, walk anywhere, about 2 years.
Wow. What did you think? I mean, when people were so preoccupied with this, could you imagine?
What?
Well, it must have been so weird to be wondering, why are people so interested in this?
The general public cares.
What's that?
Then my kids would go to school.
Yeah.
And the teacher said, let's bring up your mom on the computer.
Oh my God. Are you kidding
me? My son, All-American football player, and all his friends flipped every desk. Dare you? I have never once laid a hand on my children.
Of course not.
Not once. I was raised beyond sick. Very strict. Mm. I am the total opposite. Maybe that's why it's not like very strict, but
you know, Patricia, let me say something. Considering what we've heard today, and Dr. Drew, just let me know if you think this is right. But considering what you've been, I mean, God, the stuff you've been through, starting from being molested as a child, going through all the way to having alcoholic, abusive husbands, being knocked out, being kidnapped. The Tan Mom situation, considering all that you've been through, for you to have come out as strong a person as you are, to have raised such good, decent children as you have, to me, is a minor miracle. No, Dr. Drew? I mean, I would think that you turn to drugs, to alcohol, it'd be a terrible – I would think for most people it would break them. Am I wrong about that?
Patricia?
Yes.
Yeah.
But you came out.
I thought, you know, if I drink or something like that, or it would like make it go away and all that stuff. I learned to find myself a long time ago, but every day is the best process that I feel, and I feel it. I feel guidance. And I look at my children and what I went through, and I try every minute to stop anything that goes in their way. And it's exhausting, but you have no idea how much I love my kids and what they have been through with my exes. It's like, and then I still get blamed, and it doesn't matter to me. Fine, hate me if you want. And I'm like, I'll talk to you. We can work this out. Every minute of my life is for them.
Okay, well, you've expressed that before. And I'm glad you're all in one piece and you did survive it. And how are your kids doing, by the way?
They're doing great.
Where is everybody?
Ashley is a nurse. Alec is an engineer. Austin is in Florida after that massacre out there.
What massacre?
He's doing
the hurricane, I think she means, right?
Yes.
Okay.
That whole flooding and hurricane. Anna is doing tremendous. She has a really bad cold right now, 101 fever.
Oh, my God.
And, yeah. And Addison is so smart and diligent and articulate. Like, you would not even believe how smart they all are and kind and beautiful and healthy, except for, you know, the colds that come and go because this weather is insane. But overall, except for these idiots that I meet, yeah, life's good. I'm sorry to cry, but you guys kind of got me in a whirlwind.
except for the idiots that you meet?
I met my exes.
Ah, Got it. Okay, I'm not sure what that was a reference to. I get it.
Could have been us. I don't know.
Right, exactly. Could have easily been.
Now, by the way, is your husband your driver? Your ex, your last ex husband. What is that about?
What do you mean?
Awfully nice of him. How does he have the time for that?
What do you? I can't.
Your husband is your driver, correct? He drives you around.
Whatever I want him to,
I don't know. That's nice of him. You don't find it to be a weird situation. He comes with you when you come to the show. I mean, he seems to be. That's why everybody's confused about whether or not you're still married.
Right, because he's always around.
Keep saying you're divorced. He's always around.
It's a bug I can't get rid of, and I need medicine, Dr. Giroux.
But something tells me that you like this. I don't know. I could be completely off base here, but something tells me
he likes her. That's what she keeps saying.
Clearly, but
let me clarify that.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Right. Okay. Once and for all. Yes.
He is weird, like my ex. Okay.
Who? So, I'm sorry. Who's weird?
Who's weird?
The both of them.
Okay.
They're both your exes. For clarification, what's your most recent ex? What is his name? His first name?
Which one?
The most recent ex, the one that's always hanging around.
Richard.
Okay, so Richard is weird?
Unless. So hard to explain. I need Dr. Drew on this one.
All right.
He's right here.
Give me some hints. Give me some American help you along.
I'm scared of him. Unless I, let him come around. And stuff.
Does he help?
Then he gets.
And then he gets what?
Weird.
Like, what does that mean?
Okay. Sometimes a lot of men get obsessive, and they don't take a hint. Like, die. I hate your guts.
That's a hint.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Okay. Maybe you're not being clear enough.
Okay. So, what do you do?
What do you do? Just accept them to be around. Let him come around.
Right? But it makes my stomach not good.
I see. Does he help take care of the kids?
A little bit. It's, Dr. Drew, it's more about me.
Does he help take care of you? Do you help take care of him? I mean, do you have a caretaking relationship?
Oh, what kind of relationship?
Caretaking.
No relationship.
No relationship. You don't even take care of each other because you were together for a while. You don't even look out for each other.
No.
No. No relationship.
Nothing to do with this person.
And yet he keeps coming around. What would he say if we were to ask him, why do you keep coming around if she doesn't want you?
Everywhere we ever went, he embarrassed me. Every single place. You know what? This is a really good point, Dr. Drew. okay?
Okay.
Everywhere, he likes to control me. And, like, all the guys, they like me. That's it. Like, I'm theirs.
Uh-huh.
No. No. I am beyond independent, as you well know. And they control me in a sick way. Like, okay. And this might base my whole entire life, actually, inadvertently. But that do what they say, and then you can go.
Well, no. did you ever cheat? Is that why he's nervous and controlling?
I don't cheat.
I'm just wondering why he's so controlling. That's just him, or did something happen that made him that way?
Everybody.
Everybody's that way with you.
Yeah.
Why do you think that is?
It's the doctor to answer. Why? That is exactly, I would love to know.
Well.
But it's obviously something about you, right, Dr. Drew?
Yeah. I mean, you said you're beyond independent, and I would agree. You're beyond independent. And that could be a little bit uncomfortable maybe for some people, and they want to contain it.
No.
That's not it?
No, I mean, yes.
Yes, but no.
No, you can't contain me.
And
don't try to control me.
Are they afraid you're going to hurt yourself?
No. It's not about hurting myself. It's what they want me to exactly do, and when they can just go do whatever they want, I believe.
Okay. And yet you were able to form a family with these guys, right? They had, you had kids, and your kids are great, and there was some stability created by these guys wanting to or actually controlling you.
Bad sex.
Bad sex?
Yep.
Let me translate for me.
The
guys are bad sex. The guys were no good. Is that right?
Yep. I called the first winning off. And my daddy said there was like 8,000 people. And I'm like, not 8,000.
A lot.
3,000. Whatever. And he's like, you have the jitters. He smacked me the night of the wedding. I called it off.
Sure.
And that was the story of my first marriage. Don't laugh. Who's laughing?
No, I was coughing.
No, no.
I'm coughing. No. I've got a little cold, and I've been coughing a little bit. But that has nothing to do with bad sex, though.
That was a honeymoon. Ah. Who thought at that moment that would lead to today? How is this all relative, anyways?
How's it relevant to what? To it's all relevant because
this is the
Patricia / Tandem Mom show today.
No, this is Patricia. Patricia's life. This is your life, and this is fascinating.
Yeah, I mean, don't you want
Patricia's last-hand mom show? What the heck is that?
No.
I said this is the Patricia / tan mom episode, right?
Yeah.
This whole we're trying. You are
but
far.
Dr. Drew knows me.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, absolutely.
But this show is not for Dr. Drew or for myself. This is for the audience, for your audience, right? This is. The entire point of this is to show that you're a multifaceted woman with deep, deep experiences, and you're not the caricature that you are portrayed on the Howard Stern show as just crazy tan mom, which is fine for both you and the Howard Stern show, but we just want to make clear to the audience that there's far more beneath that, far more complexity to Patricia, right? Doesn't that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. So that's why it's all relevant, because I think everybody's interested in going behind the veil, if you will.
I could talk to you for hours. You've got a lot of fascinating stories.
Let me ask you this. How do your kids feel about you participating in the Howard Stern show and being a character?
They hate
on the Howard Stern
show. They hate it.
Tell us more about that. Explain that.
They don't like anything I do if it's not a mom thing.
Hmm.
And I'm like, you know what? I go, it's a character play. You know,
yeah.
I go, I love these guys. And I'm like, I want to be me. You're you. I can never be me. I'm supposed to sit around with what? Baking muffins all day or something? That makes you a mom? No. And I don't like the fact that they caretake that issue to be a mom. A mom comes in lots of different ways, you know. Do you need all that sitting in a kitchen thing? I do everything. There's a lot of beautiful moms. Susan, triplets, whatever. Like, everybody has kids. And do you have to look a certain part to be a mom? My kids don't like me pretty.
Hmm.
At all.
That's interesting.
They hide me all the time.
And I'm assuming they don't like your sexuality as well. I'm sure that's not an issue for them.
How am I sexual?
The bathing suits.
The bathing suits and the Stern Show. And, you know, you're and I'm not, this is not a negative. It's not a pejorative statement. But you are a sexual person, right?
I can do what I want. I don't think I need to answer. But they're all at the school. And I can agree with them on that. But it's not like I'm doing something wrong.
No.
I don't know.
No.
And even when you were working, by the way, do you have a job?
I have 5 jobs.
What do you do?
I sell clothing. I have my tanning salon. I do extra catalogs. And I'm looking into going back into L.A. for a couple of movies. Like, I do extra parts everywhere.
You have to visit Susan and I if you come out here in Los Angeles.
I would love to.
Okay. I think we may need a part two, really. I think we're sort of wrap things up because I can sit and percolate on this and think about it, and I'm sure I have a million more questions for Patricia. But I'm going to kind of wrap it up. Patricia, say thank you so much for spending all this time with us. You've been very generous with your time. And I hope
you enjoyed it.
Yeah, you should like this.
No, I loved it. But I really, Dr. Jer, I want to know what you think.
About you?
Me.
I think, well, they threw away the mold when they made you. I'm sure you've heard that before, right? You're a very unique person. I think that you were probably unique your whole life. I think that you've been rebellious probably forever, right?
Yep.
Did you ever have any problems with alcohol at all? Did that ever get away from you? Or do you ever worry about that? And
Yes, on and off.
Yeah.
But it's not like...
I understand.
There anymore.
No, I understand. And I brought it up because a lot of the adverse things that happened to you seemed like alcohol was involved. And that's, you know, kind of way that works. So there's, you know, alcohol's been, created trouble. You've been rebellious. You got a big old head injury and a trauma. You had multiple traumas. I mean, that's the main thing in your story for me is the sexual abuse, the kidnapping, and then the head trauma. The beating and all that went on, you know, that whole episode. Those are gigantic events. I mean, those are massive events that have both biological and psychological influences. And you know, as you've said yourself, you're a survivor and you're rebellious and you've just moved on through these things in spite of carrying quite a burden with it. Would that be about right?
Yes, but I really truly want you to be proud of me because I really have come a long way.
Absolutely. Listen, I'm not just coming a long way, surviving so much. I it's remarkable. And coming a long way. You were a little more, yes, but you've come a long way also in entertainment, frankly.
Speaking and talking.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yes.
Intellectual.
Yes.
You, about you,
It was much harder to talk. Yeah, 100%. I've noticed you slow down and you think about things now and you think about what you're going to say. It used to be harder to get a conversation going. You were kind of all over the place. I remember once I had you on TV and you started talking on the telephone in the middle of a television interview.
Oh, no. I did that on purpose just to bug you.
All right. Well, it bugged me. You did. I remember it. Let's put it that way.
Mission accomplished.
Mission accomplished. So I am proud of you. I'm proud of you, and you've really and I think you ought to feel very good about your relationship with Howard Stern and enjoy it. It is fun. It is a character play, as you say. And I think you bring
love Howard. I don't want anyone to be mad.
No.
I just am mad at Shuley.
Well, I'm going to talk to Shuley next week, if you'll permit me. I'm going to see him in about a week, and I'll tell him you're mad, and he needs to apologize to you, okay?
Okay.
All right. And
but I really love all of you guys, okay?
All right, my dear. We love you too, and we really appreciate you spending time with us, and we're going to wrap this up, and then I'm going to have Susan give you a call in a few minutes to sort of continue to express your love for one another because you guys, I think, are going to have an ongoing relationship.
Oh, I almost said Howard. Okay, doctor.
All right. Okay, guys. We'll see you later then. That'll about do it for Howard Vortex, and we'll see you all next time.
This is the Howard Vortex with Dr. Drew and Ami Horowitz.